Maintenance upon divorce should not be seen as a guaranteed meal ticket for life. Lise de la Harpe, senior legal advisor at Sanlam. Under our law, parties to a marriage have a reciprocal duty to support each other. This duty, however, comes to an end when the marriage is terminated as a result of divorce or death. Spousal maintenance for life or until remarriage used to be quite common in lengthy marriages, especially where one spouse was the caregiver and had not worked for years. This area of law has, however, seen a major shift over the last few years. This shift is largely due to the clean break principle, in terms of which a court will aim to achieve an outcome whereby the parties are financially independent post-divorce, if the circumstances permit. As such, lengthy rehabilitative maintenance has become extremely difficult to obtain. In this edition, we will unpack a recent High Court judgment handed down on the 2nd of May 2026, where the court unpacked its approach to the concept of rehabilitative maintenance post-divorce. The legal position: at common law, a spouse has no right to maintenance upon divorce. Section 10(1) of the Matrimonial Affairs Act, 1953 remedied this situation by providing that a court granting a divorce may make such order against the guilty spouse for the maintenance of the innocent spouse for any as the court may deem just or as per an agreement between the parties. From then onwards, the payment of maintenance after divorce could be made orders of court. Section 10(1) of the Matrimonial Affairs Act has since been repealed by Section 7(1) and 7(2) of the Divorce Act, 1979, which only differs to the extent that it has omitted the distinction between guilt and innocence, since fault has fallen away when it came to divorce, and added a number of factors to be considered by the court when granting an order for the payment of maintenance. The default position with regard to maintenance has always been that the divorcing parties should make an effort to reach an agreement instead of a court deciding the issue on their behalf, hence the inclusion of Section 7(1) of the Divorce Act, which specifically provides that a written agreement between the parties regarding inter alia be the payment of maintenance by the one party to the other may be made an order of court. However, where the parties are unable or unwilling to reach an agreement, Section 7(2) empowers the court to make a just order with regard to the payment of maintenance which it deems just. This is what we typically refer to as rehabilitative maintenance. The spouse claiming maintenance will have to establish a need to be supported. In E.H. v. Shush My 2012, 4, S.A. 164, the SCA held that a person claiming maintenance must establish a need to be supported by the other spouse. The court will only make an order for the payment of rehabilitative maintenance if, based on the facts, such an order would be just. In determining what would be just, the court will take into account a number of factors, such as the existing or prospective means of the parties, their respective earning capacities, their age, their financial needs and obligations, the duration of the marriage, the standard of living of the parties prior to the divorce, and their conduct in so far as it may be relevant to the breakdown of the marriage. The duration of any such maintenance will depend on the facts of the matter. In Croon v. Croon 1986, 4, S.A., the court found that middle-aged women who have for years devoted themselves full-time to the managing of the children of the marriage are awarded rehabilitative maintenance for a period sufficient to enable them to be trained or retrained for a job or profession, provided she can be trained or retrained. Permanent maintenance, on the other hand, is reserved for the elderly wife who has been married to a husband for a long time and is too old to earn her own living and unlikely to remarry. MIB v. DB, 2026, ZAGPPHC 411, the 2nd of May 2026. The parties married on the 13th of December 2003 out of community of property, with the inclusion of accrual system. One child was born from the marriage, who was a student at the time of the proceedings. The issue before the court included the amount of rehabilitative maintenance claimed by the plaintiff for herself, being the amount of R45,000 per month for a period of 10 years. The plaintiff had been employed by Momentum Insurance from 2000 until 2018, earning quite a significant salary. The parties came to a joint decision that the applicant would leave her position to become a stay-at-home mom, focusing on raising their son. Upon resignation, she became entitled to a withdrawal benefit from the retirement fund she was a member of by virtue of her employment in the amount of roughly R1.37 meters, R900,000, of which she then used to pay into their bond. In November of 2018, the defendant started paying her monthly in the amount of R40,000,000, which she utilized for personal care, fuel, utilities, groceries, etc. This amount was increased during 2021 to R45,000,000 per month. The plaintiff testified that the agreement between them since the start of their marriage was dop en crop, which she explained as the defendant would pay for anything home-related, i.e. bond, etc., and she would pay all the rest, like utilities, groceries, etc. After the plaintiff stopped her employment, the defendant, at least from November 2018, had to pay everything, either directly or through the monthly stipend. The plaintiff returned to work on the 1st of July 2023, earning roughly one-fifth of her former salary, which didn't come near to covering her monthly expenses. As such, she sought rehabilitative maintenance of R45,000,000 per month for 10 years. The defendant, who earned roughly R125,000 net per month, argued that he intended to retire in 2030, and as such would thereafter not have the means to pay such a large sum. With regards to the amount claimed, the court referred to the matter of MB versus NB 2010-3220-SGJ. Where the judge emphasized the importance of both parties maintaining a standard of living comparable to that enjoyed during the marriage, subject to affordability constraints. Considering the facts as well as the parties' standard of living and respective means, the court found her stated need as well as duration she was claiming to be excessive. The defendant's intended retirement in 2030 meant that his income, and with it his ability to pay, would end within a few years, while the plaintiff stood to receive roughly R6.5M as her agreed 50% share of his pension interest. Weighing the willingness the defendant had shown to support his family throughout the marriage against the plaintiff's proven shortfall and her capacity to rebuild her earnings, the court ordered the defendant to pay rehabilitative maintenance in the amount of R30,000,000 per month, escalating annually with CPI, together with a contribution of R11,000,000 per month towards medical aid, both of which would end at the earliest of the defendant's retirement, the sale of the former matrimonial home, the plaintiff's remarriage or entry into a new relationship, or the death of either party. Conclusion. Spousal maintenance is a discretionary remedy granted to a court in terms of Section 7(2) of the Divorce Act, 1979, which discretion must be exercised within the constraints of this section. Case law makes it clear that a claim for spousal maintenance should not be aimed at regaining a former lifestyle post-divorce, but rather at maintaining the claimant's current, reduced standard of living within the limits of affordability. It is only where the court believes it would be just that an order for rehabilitative maintenance will be granted. Ends. Author. At Lies de la Harpe. Sanlam Plus posts bio at Lies de la Harpe, Sanlam Popia update. Information regulator issues an enforcement notice for an email data breach at Lies de la Harpe, Sanlam Fund death benefits. Supreme Court of Appeal weighs in on the 12-month period to identify and trace dependents at Lies de la Harpe. Sanlam, does abandoning your child render you unworthy to inherit? At Lies de la Harpe, Sanlam directors take heed. Liquidation does not extinguish liability under Section 13A of the Pension Funds Act at Lies de la Harpe, Sanlam Direct Marketing. Unpacking the conflict between the amended CPA regulations and POPIA at Lies de la Harpe, Sanlam impact of the Revenue Laws Amendment Act, 2025, on Provident Preservation Fund members at Lies de la Harpe, Sanlam King V and the concept of independence. Impact on Retirement Fund Board of Trustees at Lies de la Harpe, Sanlam. King the Fifth Code on Corporate Governance. Getting ready for its implementation at Lies de la Harpe, Sanlam National Assembly approves Revenue Laws Amendment Bill, 2025 at Lies de la Harpe, Sanlam FSCA publishes budget, estimates of expenditure, levies and fees proposals at Lies de la Harpe, Sanlam Section 37D deduction in respect of damages caused to an employer, obtaining an interdict against a fund preventing it from releasing fund benefits at Lise de la Harpe, Sanlam Ombud Council publishes draft rules for the Office of the Pension Funds Adjudicator at Lise de la Harpe. Sanlam, is it not time for our law to make provision for the deposition of an affidavit virtually? At Lise de la Harpe, Sanlam Financial Services Tribunal reaffirms the pension funds adjudicator's jurisdiction when it comes to enforcing divorce orders at Lise de la Harpe. Sanlam, the Constitutional Court, weighs in on the distribution of death benefits in terms of Section 37C of the Pension Funds Act at Lise de la Harpe. Sanlam FSCA publishes final conduct standard-setting requirements for pension fund benefit administrators at Lise de la Harpe. Sanlam FSCA publishes joint communication on cloud computing and data offshoring at Lise de la Harpe. Sanlam Fund death benefits. The weight of a beneficiary nomination at Lise de la Harpe. Sanlam Tribunal rules on FSCA's authority to impose time limits on exemptions granted in terms of Section 7B of the Pension Funds Act at Lise de la Harpe. Sanlam FSCA intends keeping a keen eye on fees charged on two-pot savings withdrawal claims at Lise de la Harpe. Sanlam APAIA request for information is not a pre-discovery tool at Lise de la Harpe. Sanlam OPFA Communication 1 of 2025 update on application of in duplum rule at Lise de la Harpe. Sanlam FSCA publishes conduct standard prescribing requirements for financial institutions providing financial education initiatives at Lise de la Harpe. Sanlam the risk in material non-disclosure at Lise de la Harpe. Sanlam fund benefits and third-party bank accounts at Lise de la Harpe. Sanlam recent adjudicator determination highlights importance of following S37D process. At Lise de la Harpe, Sanlam to be married or not to be at Lise de la Harpe, Sanlam Section 2B of the Wills Act. The effect of divorce on your will at Lise de la Harpe, Sanlam non-payment of retirement fund contributions. The risk of being held personally liable at Lise de la Harpe, Sanlam legal expert unpacks the expropriation bill at Lise de la Harpe. Sanlam litigants take heed. The pitfalls of relying on artificial intelligence at Lise de la Harpe. Sanlam Treasury publishes the Draft Revenue Laws Amendment Bill, 2025 at Lise de la Harpe. Sanlam update from National Treasury on the Draft Revenue Laws Amendment Bill, 2024 at Lise de la Harpe. Sanlam deduction from fund benefits in respect of damages caused to an employer. The limitations set out in the Pension Funds Act at Lise de la Harpe. Sanlam FSCA publishes request for information in respect of board members of retirement funds. At Lise de la Harpe, Sanlam death benefits and Section 37C. The duty to identify and trace dependents at Lise de la Harpe. Sanlam two-pot truths for essays burning retirement questions at Lise de la Harpe. Sanlam FSCA publishes request for information on charges and fees charged on two-pot savings withdrawal claims at Lise de la Harpe. Sanlam Pension Funds Adjudicator publishes communication on the two-pot system at Lise de la Harpe. Sanlam Treasury publishes the Draft Revenue Laws Amendment Bill, 2024 at Lise de la Harpe. Sanlam Pension Funds Amendment Bill, 2024 impact on treatment of maintenance orders at Lise de la Harpe. Sanlam Ombud Council publishes its new rules at Lise de la Harpe. Sanlam FSCA publishes draft forms for Section 14 transfers in terms of the Pension Funds Act at Lise de la Harpe. Sanlam, what happens when the nominated beneficiary predeceases the policyholder? At Lise de la Harpe, Sanlam urges South Africans to pause before withdrawing at Lise de la Harpe. Sanlam FSCA publishes final joint standard on cybersecurity and cyber resilience requirements for financial institutions at Lise de la Harpe. Sanlam divorce amendment bill signed into law at Lise de la Harpe. Sanlam FSCA publishes proposed amendments to the conditions for Section 14 transfers in terms of the Pension Funds Act at Lise de la Harpe. Sanlam ASISA publishes updated guidelines on the protection of personal information at Lise de la Harpe. Sanlam Two Pots Pension Laws Amendment Bill 2024 adopted by Parliament at Lise de la Harpe. Sanlam FSCA publishes the final interpretation ruling 1 of 2024, RF, on the application of Section 37C of the Pension Funds Act, 1956 at Lise de la Harpe. Sanlam Two Pots Update. Treasury publishes draft revenue laws Second Amendment Bill, 2024 at Lies de la Harpe, Sanlam 2 Pots. National Assembly passes revenue laws, RLAB, Bill, the 20th of February 2024. At Lies de la Harpe, Sanlam 2 Pots. FSCA today published requirements for rule amendments at Lies de la Harpe, Sanlam contractual capacity of minors at Lies de la Harpe, Sanlam pension interest and the joint estate, the impact of the Indaba judgment at Lies de la Harpe, Sanlam can you depose an affidavit virtually. At Lies de la Harpe, Sanlam 2 pot retirement system, reset back to the 1st of March 2024 share on your socials.